Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as I am each Sunday at noon, with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio, 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585.
All right, Karen, let's get to the main event today, because we have as our guest Senator Alan Hayes. That's the Florida senator who decided that HOA reform was long overdue and who agreed to help promote that agenda this year, and if I may say so, has done so brilliantly. Senator Alan Hayes is of Umatilla, Florida. He was first elected to the Florida House of Representatives in 2004. He was subsequently elected to the Florida Senate in November of 2010. He's a 1976 charter class graduate of the University of Florida College of Dentistry and is now retired from dentistry. Senator Hayes currently serves in the Senate as chair of the Budget Subcommittee on General Government Appropriations. He's also a member of all of the following committees: Banking and Insurance Appropriations, the Subcommittee on Criminal and Civil Justice Appropriations, Commerce and Tourism Committee, the Joint Legislative Auditing Committee, the Government Oversight and Accountability, he's the vice chair of that, Children, Family, and Elders Affairs, vice chair, the Legislative Budget Commission, the co-chair of the Joint Senate Select Committee on Collective Bargaining. And after this year, if I can say, we should name him the condo and HOA czar.
Yes.
So, Senator Hayes, welcome to the show today. Thanks for being our guest.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming. Hey, before we start, I just read to everybody that you're a retired dentist. And after learning this year just how difficult it was to try and solve condo and HOA problems, I'm wondering if you'd rather go back to doing root canal or actually even have somebody do root canal on you.
Or pulling teeth.
Yeah, right.
Well, the interesting thing is that root canals are really no longer painful if they're done right, and pulling teeth is no big deal if you know what you're doing.
Right. Are you trying
it's
to say that?
It's a whole lot easier.
Are you trying to say that doing this this legislative reform is painful, though? I'll tell you that.
It can be, indeed, very laborious, too.
Yeah, difficult stuff. The first time I had the pleasure of meeting you, Senator, was in Jan Bergman's house in DeLand. And I got to tell you, I listened to you tell our group how you're going to get the ball rolling in Tallahassee, regarding HOA reform. And I'll be the first to admit, I was at first perhaps a little skeptical, because HOA owners have gotten all kinds of unfulfilled promises in the past from other legislators. But as our listeners know from tuning in here each week, you truly kept your word this year. You really went to bat for them this year. And I, for one, really thank you for it. And I know it wasn't easy.
Well, you're right to some extent, Eric. It isn't easy. But when you're doing something in which you really believe, it's not all that difficult either.
Sure.
Because you know in your heart you're doing the right thing. And I candidly am overwhelmingly embarrassed that there are so many horror stories out there dealing with HOAs. And while I'm always a small government man, I feel like the least intrusive government can be, the better it is. Sometimes we have such bad actors that we just really need to get government involved.
Exactly.
And that's what I've seen in this issue.
Right, yeah. And that's exactly the way we feel here on the show, or everybody's certainly in favor of small government. But sometimes the people out there do need help, and perhaps a little regulation, dare I say it, is not necessarily such a bad thing. But, I want to run through some of your bill's main points and, why you thought this legislation was so important. Let's start with something that you would think, is quite frankly rather obvious. And it's difficult to believe it wasn't in the bill before. How about not letting people continue to serve on boards if they get caught stealing the association's money? Now, we've had horror stories out of Orlando, as a matter of fact, I believe it was, where you've had developers or members of the board actually steal the association's funds and continue to serve as president from prison. I know that didn't sit too well with you.
Not at all. And, these positions as a member of the board of directors are positions of moral responsibility as well as fiduciary responsibility. And when you've got bad actors there, then get rid of them. Right, we have no need for people like that.
Right. Right. And again, we're talking about, in general, we're not talking about certainly all HOAs. These laws are primarily designed to go after the ones that are not following the law. Certainly not to put any extra burden on the ones that are following the law. That's certainly, you know, the intent here. But I also want to talk about something that's certainly near and dear to my heart, having certified now over 4,500 Floridians at this point, and that's certification for HOA board members and the ability to get certified through not only just signing that silly affidavit, but that educational course. And I'm glad we were actually able to get the DBPR to come around and agree to approve those types of classes for HOA owners, just like condominium owners do. And, you know, as you know, again, thousands of condo owners take these courses throughout the state. But why is education for HOA members, why is that so important for you?
Well, it's important so that the people who are sitting in those positions of responsibility know what their obligations are, what they owe to the association in terms of level of service, and that sort of thing. And it's not just something that can be taken lightly, where you need to know the rules and regulations under which you're going to operate your HOA.
Absolutely. You know, the budgets that these HOAs have sometimes approach the high six figures or even the seven figures. What's the big deal if they're just the people that are controlling all these funds get to attend a course for a few hours a year? And again, not just mine. There's a lot of classes out there that are taught for free. And not to go for classes a few hours a year, I think, would be a big mistake. But it's so important to have that opportunity, you know, available to them.
Well, and I think that for those people who are not the bad actors, they don't object to having to take a course.
Exactly.
Or they don't object to having to sign an affidavit that they have read the covenants of the HOA.
Right.
You know, Eric, I think we need to keep our perspective here, too. There are many, many HOAs out there that are functioning very well, some of whom are still developer-controlled, many of whom are no longer developer-controlled, and they have no problem. And it's very unfortunate that there are some bad actors out there, though, that we have to enact laws. And the sad part of it is we can't be retroactive in the scope of our legislation that we're writing now. We have to be prospective and just say, okay, we see the bad actors. There's not a whole lot we can do to them, but at least we can stop it from happening in going forward.
Exactly. And again, like you say, the ones that are already abiding by the law, following by the law, these statutes, a lot of them really going to not have much effect on them at all. But the ones that are stepping out of line, the ones that are misbehaving, yeah, they're going to have to listen to these rules and regulations, perhaps for the first time. So I'm glad actually to see at least some of these going into effect. And let me say, you know, we touched on developers a little. I really want to give you credit for agreeing to tackle the difficult issue of developers retaining control over HOA communities for years, sometimes, you know, if not for decades, and I know you've heard stories about that, about owners that, you know, live in communities simply not being able to have any voice on their board of directors. And your legislation now would make it mandatory for HOA developers to turn over control of associations to the owners that live in them, you know, a lot sooner in most circumstances. For example, like when a developer basically abandons a project now, or when they go into bankruptcy or foreclosure or a receiver. Why was this a priority item in your bill? And if you can tell us, have you heard these types of horror stories from Floridians that they simply have no voice in governing with places that they live in?
Well, just recently, within the last 6 months, there was a development here in Lake County that was in receivership. The bank had foreclosed on it and taken possession. The bank turned around and sold it to a new developer for just a little over $1 million. And then that new developer raised the assessments on the property owners in an obscene way, exorbitant fees. And many of these people are seniors who are retired. Their home represents their largest investment ever, and they're being assessed out of their homes because
yes,
they cannot pay the assessment, and they're fearful that this developer is going to foreclose on them.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, now there's legislation. SB 580 was even amended now to include some language in there where a developer-controlled association is not going to be able to do that any longer. Not going to be able to increase the budget by, I believe, more than 15% without a vote of the actual unit owners that are living there. And again, that's one way of keeping people in their homes and getting the developers off their back. I think that's a great provision of the bill. But actually, there's a lot of good things in the bill, and I want to move on to owners now having the ability to use their cell phones or their cameras to take pictures of the association's records, and associations and managers not being allowed to charge more than $20 per hour to provide access to those records. I got to tell you, make no mistake, this is very much appreciated by all Floridians who, again, horror stories out there about management companies charging them $100 an hour or more simply to view what is, in effect, their records. So it's nice to see that there's some cap in place, but I take it you've heard, again, some horror stories in that regard.
Well, we have, and I can, you know, this whole piece of legislation is very much like walking a tightrope, because we don't want to be so stifling that we shut down development. We don't want to be so stifling that we no longer allow management associations or management companies to oversee the HOAs. But when you have that management company that is overseeing maybe 15 or 20 HOAs, they keep the records off-site.
Right.
And so, you know, I can understand them having to go into a storage area. Of course, many times now they're stored electronically, but some of these HOAs came into being before the age of electronic storage. All that, we just got so many different avenues to consider. And so while I respect the need for the management company to pay their employees and to be reimbursed for that expense, I don't want them to be able to gouge the homeowner who's simply trying to get a copy of their records.
Right, and again, it's just another example, at least in my opinion, where if you were good guys from the beginning and you weren't gouging your owners, really this law should really not have effect on you. You shouldn't be charging them more than $20 an hour anyway. It's, again, most of this is designed to go after the bad guys. And, you know, now it's also clear in the statute that board members can't get kickbacks for awarding HOA contracts to vendors, and the board simply can't hire a company that's owned by one of those directors without the community knowing about it, the other directors approving it, and the owners actually having the ability to cancel that contract. And, again, this was already in the condo statute. But here was yet another example of owners simply in an HOA not getting the benefit that condo owners were getting. You know, why was it important for this, in your opinion, to be in our bill?
Well, that's just, you know, from people like you and me, that's just common sense.
Sure.
That you have to have an arm's length relationship there, and you can't have the board of directors contracting with the companies that are owned by the members of the board and it not being considered an incestuous relationship.
You would think.
And so if at the same time, I don't feel that a company owner should neglect to serve on an HOA board just because he owns a company, and he shouldn't be prohibited from doing business an HOA.
Absolutely not.
It's got to be out in the open, and everybody has to know that his was not the only company that had a chance to get this business. There were others as well, you know?
Sure.
And it's just got to be done fairly.
Right. As a matter of fact, I even teach at the seminars that, in effect, there really is nothing wrong with a board doing business with a director who owns a company. For example, if you need the building painted, if the guy on the board has a painting company, no problem hiring him. But there should at least be full disclosure. The owner should know about it. Certainly that director shouldn't have a vote. And I think certainly that's what you're trying to accomplish. But let's move on to perhaps what's the most controversial provision of the bill, what might be the biggest fight. And that's going to be the section that requires HOAs to actually register with the DBPR by supplying their name, their address, the number of parcels, and their budget. And I got to tell you, I don't mind saying it, for the life of me, I can't see why it's controversial. I don't know what the big deal is in simply knowing who the associations are. I think I can't imagine there's not a listener to this show right now who, if I said, believe it or not, you cannot get a list. There is no list that the state of Florida has now of all the HOAs in the state. We don't have an idea how many there are, who they are, where they're located. So what's wrong with at least getting a handle, getting a grip on just what we're dealing with? Why is that so controversial?
I'm like you, Eric. I don't understand why it's so controversial. I do know that one of the parts of that there was a whole lot of resistance to was charging a $4 fee for each member of the HOA. Really, that is more money than we need.
Right.
So we're going to cut that down to a $2 registration fee. We just have to be patient and let the process evolve. And let's see, if the trust fund is getting too fat on $2 per person, let's cut it to $1. I don't care what we cut it to. Let's just do something that is right. But at the same time, if we're going to ask the department to regulate HOAs, the HOAs need to be willing to pay for that regulation.
Exactly. And, it might be, when all is said and done, the condo owners of this state might, in fact, wind up getting a benefit, like you say, from going from $4 a unit to $2 a unit. Maybe if condos and HOAs each pay $2 a unit, then still we can get a lot accomplished with less money actually being paid by the condo owners. That would be a good thing. But, you know, we hear from the developer lobby all the time now, you know, in regards to 580. You know, we want to be careful. We don't want to stop development. We don't want regulation. But it's funny, you know, condo developers, they have to file their original documents with the DBPR. They have to get them approved. They have to pay a filing fee. And here we have the developer lobby saying, well, if you can make the HOA developers do all these things, it's going to stifle development. You know, I ask not only you, but anybody out there, does it look like condo development has been, you know, stifled in any way, shape, or form by the developers having to file some initial documents with the DBPR? Or is the opposite happening and condo development is bigger than it's ever been in this state? So respectfully, I don't really buy the argument that some minimal regulation of HOAs is going to somehow, you know, stifle or stymie development in this state. It's just not going to happen. Developers will find a way to make money.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. And I've had some people that are members of HOAs that are no longer developer controlled, and everything is working just fine with them. And they've said, why don't you carve us out? Don't make us register. Don't put us under the DBPR regulation. And I'm saying, well, for today and perhaps tomorrow, that is fine. But look down the road 5 or 10 years from now, if your HOA does get some bad actors on their board of directors, don't you think you might want some DBPR regulation?
Of course, wouldn't you think? You know, condo owners, if they have a problem, they can pick up the phone, they can call the DBPR, they can get some questions answered. There's online websites available to them. There's educational materials available to them. HOA owners, they get nothing. But, Senator, let me ask you this. What's next? I know we have a busy week coming up in Tallahassee. I'll actually be there tomorrow night. What's next in terms of Senate Bill 580? You know, what should our listeners feel confident at this point?
Excuse me, I didn't hear your last question.
I was saying, what's next, and should our listeners kind of feel confident that Senate Bill 580 looks like it's going to pass and these great laws are going to go into effect?
No, you don't ever feel confident until it's over with.
Right.
I tell you, for those who would like to do so, it would be very good for them to send an email, very brief but to the point, that said, please pass the bill to their selected representatives and their senators. I have a meeting scheduled tomorrow with some of the stakeholders on both sides of the issue to try to refine some more amendments. And then we have a committee hearing this week, and we'll be offering some more amendments to it, trying to bring back a better balance to everything. For instance, the bill right now says that when a development is 15% completed, the owners get one seat on the board of directors.
Correct.
When it's 50% completed, they get another seat on the board of directors.
Right.
And so then the question comes, okay, what do you do if there's only three members on that board?
Right. The developers wouldn't consent to a joint rent. Right.
That's right. And so we have to change that. And there's some other things in there we'll change. So that's where we are. We're still a work in progress, but I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll get some meaningful things. And honestly, Eric, it's the kind of thing that we don't need to get greedy. Let's get started in the right direction. Let's prove to the other side, whichever the other side might be, whether it's homeowners or developers, that we're interested in being fair for everyone.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're striving for.
Sure.
And with that, I think we'll have a real good result.
I agree 100%. And I got to tell you, I don't think, respectfully, there's anything in this bill that's greedy at all. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful first step towards helping HOA owners. And I can tell you, at least the people that call into this show week in and week out and that attend our seminars, they cannot thank you enough. And I want to thank you personally for working with me so closely in this regard. And again, on behalf of all HOA owners in the state, on behalf of Jan Bergman and Cyber Citizens for Justice as well, I really want to thank you for fighting the fight for HOA owners this year throughout the entire state of Florida and for keeping your promise to do it, because I can tell you that means a lot to us. And I promise you that our listeners are not going to forget that. And really, the honor and pleasure has been all mine. And I really look forward to seeing you again this week, Senator.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Okay. Enjoy chatting with you.